Welcome back. Jaron Piltz is the program director or producer. Andy Caldwell, Colabs, today's guest, and I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. Our phone number, 564-1290. You know, I represent property owners. I'm a real estate agent. I represent would-be property owners. I believe in private property rights. I rally around, it seems, small-time developers where their zoning requirements are spelled out pretty clearly, like in the city. I know the city, in some ways, and maybe based on your comments in the first section, in a lot of ways does a better job than the county in terms of clearly delineating where what paths you can go. But yet these big developments and the idea of this giant upzoning to meet these state requirements or converting ag land, you know, that I'm not a champion of. You know, I want to protect the environment, yet I appreciate your protection of ag and farmers in terms of wanting to be able to cut down an oak tree or farm their land and not worry about every single tiger salamander. So, you know, I don't know where I stand. Am I a hypocritical paradox?
No, but see, the one thing, there's some subtle nuances that people have to realize. First of all, not everything that is zoned ag is actually worth anything to an agriculturalist. In other words, what the county does, the game they play, is they zone everything in an urban area, you know, commercial, retail, industrial, but everything else gets zoned agriculture. Doesn't matter if there's water, doesn't matter if there's soil, it doesn't matter how steep the slope is, they zone it all ag. And so the bottom line, first off, is we don't have truth in zoning. Not everything that is zoned agriculture is suitable for agricultural uses. And so there's some land out there that's zoned ag that the best thing that could be used, the highest and best use, is to build a house on it.
Okay.
And so, you know, we have to make that distinction. Secondly, I'm not in favor. In fact, we're adamantly opposed to seeing prime ag lands converted to urban uses. But that's prime ag land, the land that has the right amount of soil, water, sun exposure, and it's flat enough to farm.
Well, I think a lot of the areas in Santa Barbara County and Nolita area are currently used as agriculture.
Well, there's not very much left in the South County, and if those morons on those water districts raise the rates, there's even going to be less. But that's another subject, I guess.
So... Okay, so let's, before the break, we touched on this. We had spoken earlier, and you said you had opposed the news press assertion that Santa Barbara is not getting their fair share, and you're referring to the 101 and the housing and job imbalance, and is the North really paying too much?
Right. I mean, this is insane. These problems, the South County's problems are all of their own making. One problem causes another. For instance, they don't want to build housing for all segments of society. So that means you got all these people commuting to Santa Barbara to get to their place of work. It clogs the freeway. Then they don't want to widen the freeway because they say that will be growth inducing.
Yeah. Well, I certainly support widening the freeway.
You know, but the flip side of that is, why should the North County, for instance, on commuter rail, you got a bunch of the lefties down there claiming they want a commuter rail system to Ventura.
Right.
Why should, for instance, the city council in Guadalupe give up some of the money they use to fix potholes in their own streets? Why should they give up that money to help somebody from Oxnard get to Goleta to work every day or to Montecito?
Well, can the money come from somewhere else?
Well, and a lot of people think the state should be paying for the widening of the freeway. That it's not a local road. It's a state highway. So why do the locals have to shell out hundreds of millions of dollars to widen it? It's a regional transportation corridor.
Well, that's the argument that says that locals shouldn't challenge and prevent it from being built because it's a state.
Well, but see, they did. Freeway. Years ago, the money was set aside. The locals had the money, the state had the money, and the city of Santa Barbara and the South County supervisors that represented CARP in Santa Barbara and Goleta opposed it and shut it down. Now the project costs more, and the state's not ponying up their share. At least they haven't yet. And so then now they want to divert $100 million to rail, which won't serve the North County at all. At least the freeway widening services all, you know, serves all of us. The commuter rail only serves, in reality, residents that don't even live in the county.
Yeah, that come to my paradox again. I just grew up back east where commuter rail was just fantastic. But it's a different world out here. I don't know how we're going to get people out of their cars.
Well, it's very expensive. Commuter rail is not cheap. And secondly, one of the reasons in the back east is the reason they had to have that is there's no parking.
Well, there's no parking, and they have Francisco Torres style buildings
right
next to each other on every block.
Right. So they had to have it. Out here, people, that's a luxury people love to have, and they don't think they want to give it up.
You get into that density.
Yep.
And then, so it comes down to this housing job imbalance.
Right.
I know the city of Goleta came along and basically said they were not going to allow any. You know, I can't remember actually what it was, but it was something so different from what every other city does in their effort to control growth.
They want to do absolutely nothing. And this is what's driving, you know, you talk about these state mandates. Jack Hawkshurst and Company of Goleta are the very reason that the state's going to come down on these people. Because the bottom line is we have a crisis statewide that there's not enough housing because each and every little community in this state doesn't want to grow. They're anti-growth. They're governed by NIMBYs. The state realizes that this is a problem. And so, for instance, one of the things they did in the last 2 years is they basically mandated that you can't stop second units from being built in the backyards of existing houses. They're basically almost exempt from a permitting process. And we think that they're going to take further steps. And so instead of planning for new growth in a way that's commensurate and consistent with the community's values and design standards, by opposing every little project that comes along, they are begging the state to intervene and mandate.
And what about splitting Santa Barbara County? Is that going to push the issue?
I don't think so. I mean, what's so funny about that is a lot of people in the North County would rather be poor but be free, you know. But with the board majority being more reasonable and balanced nowadays, there's no fire in the belly up here. And what's funny is some South County people seem to think they can threaten the North County by saying, if you don't do this or you do this other thing, we're going to fuel the county split. Whereas the North County isn't afraid or reticent about a county split. It's an idle threat. Of course, this has come up most recently on another land use controversy dealing with the Brooks Firestone's Board of Architectural Review for the Gaviota Coast.
Right, right. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Salud Carbajal should apologize. Here's Salud Carbajal, First District Supervisor. He has his own planning commission for the First District, for Montecito, where he appoints all those planning commissioners, and he has a Montecito Board of Architectural Review that he appoints all of those people. Plus, he appoints the First District Planning Commissioner on the Countywide Planning Commission, right? So he's basically got 11 people or so working for him that he solely appoints for his jurisdiction. Brooks Firestone comes along and simply wants a Board of Architectural Review for his district, and Salud has the nerve and the audacity to say that no, because the 3rd District coastline belongs to him and Susan Rose as much as it does to Brooks Firestone. It is their area of should be within their area of influence, not germane to him and him alone.
Do you think that their fears are unfounded about what the ensuing result of appointing?
Oh, absolutely. Brooks Firestone is not pro-growth. He never has been.
Getting back to your example, was that a city in Guadalupe that you used the city council fixing potholes?
Yes.
What if we just build the commuter rail to Guadalupe and build all the housing there?
Well, that's another elitist point of view. That's what that former ambassador, I can't remember his name, the one that passed away a few years ago, that's what they wanted to do. Their idea of regional planning is build the houses elsewhere and bring the workers in as we need them. It's all elitism.
Well, you know, you're talking to the, I've now been appointed the czar of Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah?
So now I can make these decisions unfettered by local zoning, and that's one of the things I was thinking about, but you don't sound like it's a good idea.
Well, like I said, every community thinks they're special, you know, and nobody wants to have the impacts of other communities dumped into theirs. And our whole point of view is that people have to accommodate. We believe that the principle of the state law is a good one, that all communities should be able to house the economic segments that work and live in that community.
Well, we never expect, you know, I don't know if you answered this question, because is it going to be rentals or is it going to be building artificial?
I think they give you some options for that. I don't think they mandate that they have to be housing for sale. I think they can be duplexes, condominiums, apartments, mobile homes. I think there's all sorts of ways to create affordable housing. But see, there's people that, you know, I'm like, there's a lot of communities in this county that have trailer parks next to established neighborhoods. And, you know, everybody looks down on trailer parks because they think they're tacky. They think they bring down property values.
Well, first of all, you got to call them mobile home parks, not trailer parks. Well, that'll help.
All right. but the point is that was affordable housing for a lot of people for a long time. And those parks can be made to look attractive, or high-rise senior buildings or high-rise apartment buildings. You know, you look at what's going on in Vegas. You got high-rise condos, or those condos are selling for $1 to $2 million a piece.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, talking with Andy Caldwell. We'll take a break, come back for our final segment with Andy Caldwell, and then the fourth segment, of course, is the weekly sales multiple listing update. Our phone number, 564-1290. Stay tuned. We'll talk about some of the voting going on tomorrow and Andy's thoughts on that. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.